eCatra podcast conversations for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of eCatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're doing something a bit different, really getting into a book that's, well, it's had a huge impact. We're talking about Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose.
Yeah, and it's a really important book to look at now. I mean, Tolle is not just offering some nice ideas. He's actually putting forward this quite radical idea about where humanity is at evolution-wise.
Right, because we see all this progress, technology, all that.
Exactly. But at the same time, there's just so much conflict, so much personal suffering, anxiety, depression, you name it, and look at the environment. Tolle says there's a fundamental reason for this disconnect, and the book tries to figure out why and what kind of shift in consciousness is needed, urgently needed, really.
Okay, so before we jump into the core ideas, maybe we should talk about Tolle himself, his background. It's not what you'd expect, is it?
No, not really. He was born in Germany, educated in London, Cambridge. Seemed like a standard academic path. But then, in his late 20s, things really changed.
Change how?
Well, he describes it as years of almost constant crippling anxiety, suicidal depression, even. Yeah. Just this state of total inner turmoil.
Yeah.
And then, apparently, at age 29, he had this sudden, incredibly intense spiritual awakening. He's completely dissolved his old self, that anxious, depressed identity. It was replaced by just this feeling of pure consciousness, of being.
And that's really the source of his teaching, isn't it? It's not academic study, primarily.
Precisely. His authority comes from that direct experience, that realization born out of suffering.
Yeah.
Which I think is why so many people connect with it.
Yeah, it feels more grounded somehow.
And what he does so well, I think, is act as a kind of translator. He takes these deep spiritual ideas, so you see threads of Zen, Sufism, Hinduism, Christian mysticism, and puts them into really simple, modern, non-religious language. Like, he's building a bridge between ancient wisdom and, you know, the messiness of 21st century life.
Mm. Demystifying enlightenment, almost. Making it seem achievable.
Exactly. Not some far-off goal for monks, but a necessary next step for, well, for everyone trying to cope.
Okay, so that clarity really hits home. Let's get to the main argument then, the core thesis. Tolle says the root of all our problems, personal and global, is a kind of insanity. That sounds pretty strong.
It does sound strong, yeah. But he defines it very specifically. It's the complete, often unconscious, identification with the ego.
And ego here isn't just about being arrogant or full of yourself.
No, it's much deeper. It's the false, mind-made sense of self, this kind of bundle of thoughts, memories, roles, and emotional patterns that we think is us. And this false self, this ego, it operates from fear, from a sense of lack, always needing validation, always separating itself from others. It thrives on conflict, basically.
Okay, so if that's the problem, this tyranny of the ego, what's the solution he's pointing towards? Must be pretty fundamental.
It is. It's a spiritual awakening. A radical shift in where you find your sense of self. Instead of identifying with the constant stream of thoughts and emotions, the mind, you realize your true nature is the awareness behind all that. That formless consciousness. He calls it presence or being.
So the book is kind of a roadmap for that shift.
Yeah, essentially. A guidebook for this evolutionary step.
Mm-hmm.
Moving beyond the ego to create, as the title says, a new earth. Starting with our inner world.
Let's dig into that ego concept a bit more, because it's easy to misunderstand. You said it's identification with form. What does he mean by form?
Right. So form isn't just physical objects, though that's part of it. It's really anything temporary that we attach our eye to, our body, our job title, our social status, our possessions, our personal history, our opinions.
Even opinions.
Oh, especially opinions. And most fundamentally, the endless stream of thinking itself. The ego claims ownership of all these forms.
So if I think I am right about this, or I am a manager, or I am someone who worries a lot, that's the ego latching onto a form.
Exactly. And the reason it latches on so fiercely is because at its core, the ego feels incomplete, inadequate. There's this underlying not enough feeling. So it constantly seeks to bolster itself through these external identifications. Defending your opinion becomes defending yourself. If the opinion is challenged, the ego feels threatened. Diminished.
Okay. That makes sense of a lot of arguments online and off.
Doesn't it just? Now, linked to this, but maybe even more visceral, is the concept of the pain body. Mm-hmm. This comes up in chapter 5. It's about how the past keeps its grip.
The pain body, what exactly is that?
Tolle describes it as the accumulation of old, unresolved emotional pain. Every bit of anger, grief, resentment, trauma that wasn't fully faced and processed. It clumps together. It forms this kind of semi-autonomous energy field within us, like a psychic parasite almost.
Wow, a psychic parasite. That's a strong image. Does do things.
Oh, yes, that's the crucial part. It lies dormant much of the time, but then something triggers it. An argument, a rejection, sometimes even just a stray thought. And when it activates, it takes over your thinking and feeling. It wants you to feel bad, to relive old pain, because it feeds on negative emotional energy. It creates drama to sustain itself.
So that sudden, irrational surge of anger or despair might not actually be me reacting to the present, but the pain body demanding its food.
That's exactly the insight. Recognizing it isn't you, it's this old energy pattern activating.
Yeah.
That's the first step to disarming it.
Okay, so how do we disarm it? And the ego in general. Chapter 6 gets practical, right?
Right.
He says fighting it doesn't work.
Right. Fighting is just more ego, more conflict. The key, he says, is witnessing. Observation. Awareness.
It's just watching it.
Yes. You bring awareness to the thought or the emotion without getting caught up in it, without judging it. You observe the thinker. You notice, there's anger arising, or there's that familiar thought of, I'm not good enough.
So you're not the anger. You're the one noticing the anger.
Precisely. That act of noticing creates a space. You step back from being merged with the thought or emotion.
Mm.
And in that space of awareness, the unconscious pattern starts to dissolve. Because these things, the ego, the pain body, they thrive in unconsciousness. They can't really survive the light of presence. Awareness is the antidote.
That's a powerful shift, just noticing. And this presence, this awareness, it changes how we approach goals too. Chapter 9 talks about inner versus outer purpose.
Yes, this is huge. We're so conditioned to focus on outer purpose, what we achieve, our career, our projects, making a difference out there. Totally flips it. He says inner purpose is primary. And that's simply to awaken, to be present right here, right now, whatever you're doing.
So the doing itself becomes secondary to the being while you're doing it.
Exactly. Your main aim isn't finishing the task or getting the promotion, but bringing awareness, presence to the process itself. And the paradox is, when your inner purpose being present is prioritized, your outer purpose, the actions you take, become much more effective, creative, and fulfilling. He calls it awakened doing.
Awakened doing. I like that. So even washing the dishes can be fulfilling if you're present while washing the dishes.
That's the idea. Instead of being lost in thought about the past or future, you're just there. With the water, the soap, the plates, that's where life actually happens.
Okay, let's maybe pull back a bit and look at the big themes weaving through the book. The first one is clearly the ego as the source of all the trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. And really grasping that it's the same basic dysfunction, whether it's you complaining about your boss or nations going to war, it's identification with a limited, separate self. It makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you catch yourself in those ego patterns, like complaining or feeling resentful, recognizing it for what it is.
Definitely. For me, it's often that internal commentator, always judging or comparing. It's exhausting when you notice it. But then the second theme is the hopeful one, presence as the gateway. The way out is always available.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so democratic, I guess. It doesn't matter who you are or what you believe. The capacity to be present, to watch your mind, is inherent in everyone. It's not about becoming someone different. It's about realizing the awareness you already are beneath the mental noise.
Right. And the third key theme seems quite counterintuitive. Non-resistance and acceptance. We're usually told to fight problems.
Yeah. Tolle argues that resisting reality, fighting against what is in this moment, actually creates most of our suffering.
Mm.
The difficult situation is one thing. Our mental and emotional resistance to the situation is a whole other layer of pain, created by the ego not wanting things to be as they are.
So acceptance isn't passive resignation. It's about accepting the isness of the moment before you decide how to act.
Precisely. You accept the reality of this moment, even if it's unpleasant, because it's already here. Fighting it is futile. From that place of acceptance, then you can take clear, conscious action rather than reactive, ego-driven action.
That requires real presence, doesn't it, to accept before reacting?
It does. It's a practice.
The book has some incredibly powerful, memorable lines, too. Should we share a few key quotes?
Yeah, definitely. One that really stands out because it puts the power back in your hands is, "The primary cause of unhappiness is never the situation, but your thoughts about the situation."
Oof, that's direct. It means our feelings aren't caused by events, but by our interpretation of events.
Exactly. It highlights the role of our own mind in creating suffering through resistance and judgment. It's empowering, really, because you can't always change the situation, but you can change your thoughts about it.
Okay, here's another one that really connects the inner work to the bigger picture. The pollution of the planet is only an outward reflection of an inner psychic pollution. Millions of unconscious individuals not taking responsibility for their inner space.
That's such a crucial link. It suggests that healing the planet requires healing our own minds first. That inner spaciousness, that awareness, is foundational for collective change. It makes the personal journey feel less, well, less selfish and more like a necessary contribution.
A service, almost. And one more, which is really the practical instruction. The moment you start watching the thinker, a higher level of consciousness becomes activated.
That's the key, isn't it? It's immediate. The second you observe your thought, you are no longer completely lost in the thought. You've accessed that deeper dimension of awareness. It proves you're more than just your thinking mind.
So simple, but so profound. Okay, let's bring this down to earth. How can people apply these ideas in, say, difficult personal relationships?
Well, in relationships, it's huge. When conflict arises, the ego and pain body often hijack us instantly. We react, blame, defend. The practical application is to try and catch yourself in that moment. Pause, even for a second, and ask internally, is this my ego defending itself? Is my pain body fueling this anger right now?
Just asking the question creates a bit of space.
Exactly. It breaks the automatic unconscious reaction. It allows you maybe to see the other person's ego pain body too, instead of just reacting to it. It opens the door for actual communication, not just two egos battling it out.
Okay. And what about for managing stress and anxiety, which is so prevalent?
The key there is using the present moment as an anchor. When anxious thoughts spiral, usually about the future or past, Tolle suggests bringing your attention firmly into your body. Feel the breath moving in and out. Feel the energy in your hands or feet, what he calls the inner body. This roots you in the gale. Now, the only place you're not anxious.
So you disconnect from the mind's fearful stories by grounding in physical sensation.
Yes. It creates an inner space of calm that's always there, underneath the mental noise. The anxiety is in the thoughts. The peace is in the present moment awareness.
And finally, in our work lives, where there's so much pressure to achieve, to meet external goals, how does awakened doing apply?
Tolle talks about three modalities you can bring to any action: acceptance, enjoyment, or enthusiasm. If it's a task you dislike but have to do, you practice acceptance, no inner resistance. If you genuinely enjoy it, you bring that quality enjoyment fully. If it aligns with your passion and creativity, you bring enthusiasm.
So the focus shifts from the result to the quality of consciousness you bring to the activity itself.
Precisely. Finding fulfillment in the process, infused with presence, rather than letting the ego's relentless need for external validation or future success dictate your state of being.
This has been really illuminating, unpacking all of this. As we sort of wrap up, what's the one big thing you personally take away from A New Earth?
For me, the most fundamental, life-changing takeaway is that core message. You are not your mind. You are the awareness behind the mind. Realizing that the peace or fulfillment we're all searching for isn't found by manipulating the outside world, but by shifting our own consciousness. That's incredibly liberating.
Yeah, I agree. It shifts everything. And for me, building on that, it's the profound implication that this inner work isn't just personal development. Tolle frames it as an essential part of human evolution. Our individual awakening contributes directly to the possibility of a new earth, a saner, more conscious world. It gives the inner journey a kind of planetary significance.
A powerful thought to end on.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.